Hola.
Bienvenidos a nuestro last episode de nuestra cuarta temporada of our bilingual podcast, ¿Qué pasa Midwest?
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 Telling the stories of Latinos from the homeland to the heartland. But we are crying for justice and equality, yeah. This season, we stayed on top of two major topics, the census and the 2020 elections. Some of the topics we've explained esta temporada incluye how the census count can affect the elections with gerrymandering, la experiencia política of young people in various countries, how the youth recently unseated a Puerto Rican governor, and her stories from our collaborators, one of them on why some Latinos rather not get involved in politics. So, let's get started with this episodio. Tu voto cuenta. Este año que viene, más personas de color van a ser elegibles para el voto que en años pasados. According to the Pew Research Center, the 2020 election will mark the first time that Hispanics will be the largest racial or ethnic minority group in the electorate. En términos más simples, a projected 32 million Hispanics and 30 million Blacks will be eligible to vote in 2020. This increase is at least partially linked to immigration and naturalization, porque 1 in 10 eligible voters in the 2020 elections will have been born outside the U.S. Like, for example, Mayra Fortes, a Mexican-born professor who recently became a citizen. Our collaborator, Emily Hunsberger, talked to her in Michigan about why she decided to become a U.S. citizen.
Well, I was a permanent resident, and I was thinking that, well, maybe I can stay as a permanent resident because you can renew your residency, I think, every 10 years. But then President Trump came to the presidency, and there were rumors that since he was being really, you know, I guess, tough on immigration, that maybe he would eventually also take it on permanent residence, and maybe it was going to be harder to, you know, stay in your job or even find a job if people need to find a job, even if you have a green card. So that was pretty much what pushed me to maybe seek the citizenship. My green card was about to expire, so it was either renew the green card or go for citizenship. And then I decided just to get the citizenship, mainly because of that. I actually asked a lawyer, like, do you think that it's really necessary and that, I mean, this could happen, that, you know, the government can go after permanent residents? And he said, well, you know, you never know, but it is true that, I mean, they are doing things to target immigrants. So, I mean, You're eligible, you can apply for citizenship, so why not? And then you just forget about it, because once you're a citizen, I mean, it's going to be really hard, you know, that, you know, they take that away. That's, you've earned it, you have it, it's yours, so it's kind of like a peace of mind. Mm-hmm. So then I thought, well, also, if I'm going to stay here, if I'm married, if I have a kid, and if I have a job here, even maybe if in the future, you know, we find something or we move elsewhere, but we're going to stay here maybe for a few more years, it makes sense to become a citizen, because then, well, I don't have to be renewing my green card. I can also be politically involved. I can apply also, well, since I'm a professor, there were certain grants that I couldn't apply for instance, a Fulbright. That's only for American citizens. So now I can also, like, have all those benefits that I didn't have as a permanent resident. So that's kind of like, well, you know, kind of like make a balance and say maybe it's worth trying.
Ahora, como te dije, this increase is at least partially linked to immigration and naturalization. Many of the immigrants que se hacen ciudadanos have the opportunity to sign up to vote right after the naturalization ceremony. So let's see first how Mayra remembers her ceremonia.
It was actually nice. I mean, you get there, they give you a small flag of the U.S. They take your green card away, because that's the moment when they give you the certificate. So that's pretty much now what proves that you're a citizen. And so I arrived, they took the green card. And we all sat down, and I think it was then several people like give small speeches. So there were people, there were the director of the library, the mayor of Grand Haven, a representative of the, I don't know if it was the city of Grand Rapids or Grand Haven, but she's from Michigan and she was Latina, and she gave us also a speech of her process. So pretty much a lot of people spoke, well, not a lot of people, but some people spoke, and they told their stories and their backgrounds. Many of them were, you know, connected somehow to immigration. The mayor of Grand Haven, I didn't know that, but her parents were Dutch, so they came here and all that. So that was really nice. And also there was, I think, I don't know if she's a judge or just an officer from immigration, but she was kind of funny and very uplifting, and she, I don't know how many times she said, like, we're so happy that you're becoming citizens and that you are being, you know, full members of this country. And she did mention, like, even though that the political environment now is a little, you know, harsh towards immigration, we're still, you know, naturalizing people, we're still reviewing cases, so this is, you know, not stopping regardless of whatever you hear in the news or, you know, people are saying. So that was, it was kind of like, you know, I don't know if nice is the, like, most appropriate word, but kind of like, we felt like welcome. Like, not everybody thinks that, you know, oh, you're an immigrant and you're taking a spot, you know, for other people and, you know, taking our jobs and all these things that sometimes you hear. So that was really nice, and people made sure that we felt comfortable, and like there was like no negative energy in the room. So all in all, it was, I really liked it, and it was very kind of like emotional at some points, and some people cried when, you know, they tell you, you take the oath, and they finally tell you, well, now you're a citizen, and, you know, some people cried, and I was also moved. I was like, oh, no. They made us sing the national anthem, and I couldn't remember all the lyrics, but they gave you a piece of paper, you know, with the lyrics and all that, so it was very well done, and it was a really nice experience, yeah.
And she knew she could register to vote right after.
The lawyer told me, once you have your citizenship, you just register to vote. And I have a friend who became a citizen a few years ago, and I remember I went to her naturalization ceremony, and she registered to vote outside the ceremony. So she was super excited about doing that and be able to vote. So I knew that even in this, I mean, right after the ceremony was done, I could register to vote, and I was going to be eligible too.
Las elecciones presidenciales son diferentes en cada país. Aquí la comparación de Estados Unidos y México en los ojos de Mayra. From voting by writing in a piece of paper the name of your candidate and dropping it in a box to crooked politicians.
Bueno, los puntos en común. En México también hay, o sea, una democracia, o sea, el pueblo vota para elegir a sus representantes. Bueno, en México tenemos una historia muy larga de rigged elections, o sea, de corrupción y triquiñuelas que se hacían para favorecer a ciertos candidatos y demás.
Mayra says, in Mexico, politicians always make moves that look like tricks. And she didn't think that happened in the U.S.
Entonces, eso creo que, por lo menos la idea que yo tenía cuando estaba en México, es que eso no pasaba en Estados Unidos. O sea, la idea que hay como de Estados Unidos y su democracia y su sistema de gobierno fuera de Estados Unidos es que es una verdadera democracia, no hay corrupción. Porque te digo, o sea, en México sí hay, sobre todo con el PRI, hay toda una historia desde, o sea, desde ya la manera en cómo se formó el PRI, cómo ganaron sus primeras elecciones, o sea, era ya bastante corrupto, o sea, básicamente compraban los votos, le daban, you know, cosas a la gente, comida o a veces con, hace muchos años después de la revolución, con pistolas, o sea, era ¿quién va a votar por este candidato? Y los votos eran abiertos y había gente armada, entonces pues obvio vas a votar por el candidato que ellos te digan, ¿no?
So in Mexico, the politicians hustle votes by giving communities food, or in other cases, by putting armed guards outside voting places. She says, of course you will vote for the candidate with the armed guards. You didn't want to die. This change after the Mexican Revolution.
Entonces, como que yo tenía la idea de que Estados Unidos, pues no era así, Claro, después en México, después de la revolución, usaban otras tácticas, ¿no? Para comprar votos y ganar elecciones y eso. Ya no era con, así de voto abierto y con pistolas y demás. Pero cuando llegué a vivir aquí y empecé a aprender más sobre el sistema de gobierno y gerrymandering y todas estas cosas, como que dije, oh, wow, o sea, las tácticas aquí son un poco más sofisticadas, pero también no es tan directo al voto, ¿no? También me sorprendió que no ganara Hillary Clinton la vez pasada porque, por el Electoral College. Eso es algo que no hay en México. O sea, en México tú vas, votas, se cuentan los votos de la gente y ya. O sea, no hay Electoral College.
In Mexico, there's no Electoral College. So to Mayra, when Hillary Clinton ran against Trump, she thought Hillary won. But after the final decision, Mayra says, the U.S. didn't seem as democratic as she thought.
Entonces, eso para mí también me sorprendió. Y no entendí al principio, mi esposo me tuvo que explicar, qué era el Electoral College y los votos de la Florida. Y yo decía, pero, o sea, ¿qué es esto? Y era un poco confuso. O sea, yo pensé que era más directo, más straightforward, como en México. Entonces, eso me sorprendió. Y esa es una de las diferencias. En México el voto popular es el que cuenta, no hay Electoral College. Y que aquí eso no cuente es un poco... Como que me hizo cuestionar un poco si realmente la democracia de Estados Unidos era un sistema tan democrático como yo pensaba.
Mayra says voting in Mexico is not as complicated. She says when you go to vote, you get a pen and a paper and check the candidate you're voting for and then you drop it in a box.
En México no se cuentan los votos en una máquina porque fui a votar en una elección local de la ciudad de Grand Rapids y no sabía qué tenía que hacer. Entonces me explicaron y hay una maquinita en la que al final metes tu papelito. En México no hay eso. En México te dan tus papeles y te dan un lápiz especial y tachas y después los metes en una cajita y ya.
But a voter turnout will play an important role in determining the relative electoral influence of different racial and ethnic groups. Así que sal a votar, porque una cosa es poder votar y otra es salir a votar. Y tu voto cuenta. On our page, we have links to see las reglas and where to register to vote. También queremos dejarte saber some important dates for you to prepare your vote and watch debates. The sixth Democratic primary debate was December 19, 2019. The Iowa caucuses will happen February 3, 2020. The New Hampshire primary on February 11, 2020. And on March 3, 2020, the Super Tuesday primaries. The first presidential debate will happen September 29, 2020, followed by the vice presidential debate on October 7, 2020. On October 15th, a couple days after, the second presidential debate, and the last and third presidential debate on October 22nd, 2020. We have these dates listed on our page por si tienes que volver a verlos. These are important to know because this is how you get to know los candidatos a la presidencia. Gracias por acompañarnos esta temporada. It was so informative y yo aprendí muchísimo during this season. Share with your close circle about the importance of filling out the census and voting this upcoming elections. On our website, quepasapodcast.com, we have links to help you register to vote and learn more about the census. Our song for this episodio is titled Justice and Equality by reggae artist Zion Albert. Zion is from the island of Dominica. His musical inspiration is Bob Marley, whose music has touched the hearts of many, spreading love to the world. A big thanks to Maria Thomas and Steve Berger for overseeing this season and to our collaborators for producing some of the stories. También gracias, muchas, muchas gracias a todos los que compartieron sus historias con nosotros. Don't forget to follow us on social media. Soy Paola Maristán and this is ¿Qué pasa Midwest?
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 Telling the stories of Latinos from the homeland to the heartland.
But we are crying for justice and equality, yeah. Them fighting, them hurting, your children, yeah.
So children.